Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot. It is Wednesday, and that means it is time for another visit with the Leeds, Grenville, and Lanark District Health Unit. And joining us via Zoom today, we have got Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Lena Lee. Dr. Lee, welcome back to Lake 88.
It's always wonderful to be here.
And also joining us today, Jenny Vandermeer, who is the Vaccine Clinic Lead. Jenny, welcome back.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay, we're going to start with you, Dr. Lee, and go through some of our statistics here when it comes to COVID-19. We were taking a look at the numbers that came out yesterday, and there are some positive pieces of data to pull out of this, aren't there?
Yeah, so there's some great news and some not so great news. So what I'll do is break this down. So in terms of the COVID-19 numbers, what we're seeing is that the numbers have really stabilized and may indeed be falling. I think, as is tradition for me, I'm nervous to call something is falling or rising until we have a number of weeks worth of trends. And so I don't think we're there yet in terms of having had enough time pass for me to confidently say that things are falling, but I can confidently say that things are stabilizing. And so it doesn't look like our numbers are increasing for COVID-19 transmission. In terms of our hospitalization in ICUs, those have stabilized as well, though we continue to have a number of people in hospital. So we have 13 right now, of which 3 are in ICU and 1 is currently ventilated with COVID-19. But in terms of those numbers overall, those have indeed stabilized as well. What we're seeing across the region, so not just for Leeds, Grenville, Lanark, but all across the Eastern Ontario region, is that things are stabilizing as well. So the COVID-19 transmission is not rising with the level that we saw in previous weeks, for sure. What we're seeing, however, before we get too excited, is a few things. One is there continues to be concern of a further, whether we call it wave or rise in transmission of COVID-19 through the fall and winter, along with other respiratory viruses. And that's based on what we know historically has happened for COVID-19 transmission all across the world, really, is that in the fall and winter, we tend to have more cases. And everyone, I think, I'm sure, will remember that we had quite a significant set of cases during December and into March last year, which was that initial Omicron wave. And so we know that transmission of respiratory viruses, of which COVID-19 is one, does get really, really takes off much more easily when everybody's indoors, and we have all the kids who are sort of stably in school and people are at work and all of that, all indoors. So the other piece of caveat that I want to point out is that we do actually continue to have a relatively large number, and indeed rising number, of emergency department visits for respiratory illness. And so that, based on what we see, is, you know, the COVID-19 trends have stabilized, but the emergency department visit counts are continuing to rise quite steeply. And that, in my speculation, and I think bears out not in LGL specific data, but regional data, is that that's based on transmission of other respiratory viruses. So RSV is circulating quite substantially in our region right now. And rhino and enterovirus also continues to circulate. And those are common causes of the common cold, as well as other viruses that cause the common cold, and as well as flu, right? We talked about recently that flu is definitely circulating in our region. And that's another virus that can cause severe outcomes. And I want to specifically point out RSV, because RSV is circulating quite significantly among young children. And RSV is actually a virus that is of greatest concern for very young children. And so RSV stands for respiratory syncytial virus, which is, why we shorten it to RSV. It is quite a challenge to say. And it is a virus that really typically causes in most people what we would consider the common cold. For a subset of people who are particularly young, that is going to be a greater risk. So, for kids, infants especially, and kids under the age of two, that's when, if you get RSV, typically that's when you're getting RSV. But that's also the time that you can have what's starts out as a cold and then becomes much more serious. And it can cause actually a severe enough infection in the lungs that people are hospitalized and young infants sometimes die of it. And so RSV is something that is circulating in our region. For most kids, they do get it, like I said, by the time that they're two, because it transmits really, really easily. And so people just swap the virus, to other people, including kids. Right now, because we've had such limited transmission of a number of respiratory viruses, including RSV, through the era of COVID-19, we are seeing more people get RSV all at once right now. And so that's because, so many people haven't had RSV, these young children, let's say under the age of four. And now this is the first time that they're substantially getting that level of transmission of RSV, and they're getting it. And so that is what, for example, the Children's Hospital in Ottawa is seeing, is quite a substantial rise in admissions and even ICU stays for kids with respiratory viruses, including RSV.
So, quick question about RSV, a couple actually here. Is it becoming more common? People are more children, I guess, are getting it because they're getting back together now than they had. And we had that 2 years where, we saw that the flu numbers were low. And a lot of people really, quite frankly, didn't know what RSV was until this year, until we saw this surge. Is that a big factor?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say, it's because we're all getting together, not just the kids, but every one of us, right? And the level of transmission that would have happened in quote normal activity levels. So, everyone getting together, it's not that people are getting together even more and that's what's transmitting RSV, is because people are getting together to some level and RSV transmits really easily. And so all of these people who've never had RSV are suddenly getting it because they're getting together with other people, and they've never been exposed before, and now they're being exposed, and unfortunately, a large number of people would then get the infection. Keeping in mind that for many people, it's a common cold, right? Like it's a couple of
Yeah.
days, and then for a small subset of people, it is quite severe.
So at what point then, if a parent has a child who gets a cold, at what point should you bring them to the emergency room because you think, well, this may be a cold, but well, is it something more?
Yeah, so that's a great point. And what I've heard from other physicians who I'm in contact with is that they're getting a lot of those questions from parents because it's been 2, 3 years. Some parents are first-time parents. It's maybe been a while since they've had kids getting a cold or respiratory symptoms. They're not quite sure what to do. The first thing to know is for the majority of kids, for any respiratory virus, it is not going to be a serious outcome. Most kids are going to be fine. If they have a cold, or respiratory symptoms, it's not that they need to get care or that you need to go to the ER or anything like that right off the bat. If your kid looks like they're really struggling to breathe, if they're not, what we sometimes considers sort of kids that are well, that are running around but with a runny nose and a cough, not so concerning. If they're not at the activity level that you would consider their normal activity level, if they're sleeping more than usual, if they're not eating, all of those sort of things that are commonly described in when you go see a doctor, those are times that are more concerning that you should definitely consider, can you see your doctor? Other things like, are there medications that you can use? Again, working with your doctor on what that might look like for your kid. And then the last is, if you're truly concerned, don't hesitate to go to the ER. I think I speak to for a number of physicians to say that people who are ill, the ER, I know people are talking about, oh, the ERs are really busy. We don't want to overload them. But if you're concerned about the health of your child, definitely don't hesitate to go. It's the question of, what is the level of concern and when should you be concerned? And people who are maybe not quite used to it, just, I'm hoping to also provide some reassurance that not every situation where the kid has a cough or a runny nose or has a fever necessarily means that it's going to be a serious outcome needing hospital care.
Okay. Before I let you go, I just wanted to circle back a little bit here to COVID-19. Just a couple of things that I observed. One of them was that you mentioned the hospital numbers have stabilized, and we've seen that over the past few weeks. For the first time in what seems like many weeks, there is a person who is on a ventilator. We haven't seen that in a while, and I think even though there is one person who is being treated that way right now, it's still encouraging that the cases have not become serious enough to require ventilation. I can remember when we had five or six or seven who were there. I'm sure Jenny, you can remember that as well. So that is pretty good. But unfortunately, we got that grim reminder once again because there was another fatality added to the total. So that once again says it's still here. People who are most susceptible can get it and have these terrible outcomes.
Yeah, absolutely. And so this is actually another opportunity for me to, we haven't really focused on vaccination in this particular week, but really a refocus on vaccination. And what I'll say is, because the transmission levels are coming down, I am actually quite relieved. But like you said, we do still see severe outcomes. And once again, as a reminder to listeners, it is the time since your last dose of vaccination that's probably the most significant element of protection. And so for people who've not been vaccinated in the past 5 to 6 months, now is a really great time, a good opportunity to get vaccinated in anticipation for what I worry to be further transmission for the following winter season. And as well, because even when, something that just to level set us a little bit, something that we would have considered really high transmission levels relatively earlier on, or before Omicron, I think Omicron really reset our expectations for what we consider high transmission. But even now, as numbers are lower than they've been in the past month, or they're stabilizing, we're at a high transmission level. And it's not, we continue to have, I'm sure there's many listeners at home who know people who've recently had COVID-19 and continue to know people who, you hear, oh, so and so got COVID-19 recently or did a test and they were positive. That's still continuing to happen. So it just because the numbers are lower, like you said, Bob, doesn't mean that it's not continuing to be a threat. And vaccination remains, as I say, every time I talk about vaccination, the single most effective way that people pr can protect themselves and the people around them against COVID-19.
Well, I think that that would be the perfect introduction for our next guest here, Jenny Vandermeer, who is the vaccine clinic lead. And Dr. Lee, I want to thank you so much for taking the time, as you do every week, to speak with us. Some great information there for everybody, young and old. And you're welcome to hang in here, but I know you're very busy as well. So if you have to bow out, we'll understand that for sure. But very pleased to bring Jenny into the conversation here, and we'll continue this talk about the vaccination. You are the vaccine clinic lead. I just wanted to say right off the bat, yesterday I brought my 3-year-old grandson into the Smiths Falls clinic to get his first shot. And I've got to tell you, the people there were excellent. They were so good with him, so good with the nervous grandpa as well, as we went to get it done. And it was a very positive experience for me, but more importantly for him. So hats off to your folks there, Jenny.
Oh, that's great to hear, Bob. I'll share that with our staff. We've got a great team. I can't express enough how great our team is, especially with those little kids that are coming in and might be a little bit scared to be there.
Now I had the choice of either Pfizer or Moderna. So this is something that's happening now.
Yeah, so I think the last time I was on and chatting, we only had the one product available for that age group. So now we are able to offer two different vaccine products for kids in the age range of 6 months to under 5. Both products are equally as safe and effective at preventing severe symptoms and outcomes. What's important for parents to know when they're deciding on which vaccine to choose is that Pfizer is a three-dose series for their primary series. So that those children that opt to get Pfizer or parents who opt to get Pfizer for their child will get three doses each spaced 8 weeks apart. Moderna, on the other hand, is a two-dose series, so it's a little bit of a higher concentration of mRNA, and they'll get two doses spaced 8 weeks apart as well. Unlike for other age groups where we're interchanging brands, for this younger age group, we're sticking with the same brand to complete their full primary series. So they'll if they get Pfizer to start, they'll complete their full series with Pfizer or vice versa with Moderna.
Two questions. First one for you, Jenny. How far apart are those shots for both of them, the Pfizer and the Moderna?
Yeah, so between if they're getting Pfizer, it's three doses 8 weeks apart. So 8 weeks from dose one to two, and then another 8 weeks from dose two to three. And the same goes for Moderna. So the child will only get two doses, but spaced 8 weeks apart. And that's to induce the best immune response for that child. With informed consent, parents may opt to shorten that interval, but it really is best and recommended by NACI and the province to wait that full 8 weeks to get the best immune response.
And Dr. Lee, you think that both of these offerings, the Moderna and Pfizer, provide, equal protection?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think, bear with me as we go a little bit. As a reminder for everyone, the idea of choosing the brand of vaccine is really something that started much more during COVID-19. Historically, we have a number of brands of vaccine for a number of vaccines that we provide, and they're all researched and released and effective. And safe. And in particular, the difference between Pfizer and Moderna, because they use the same technology, is actually relatively marginal. And so the difference between the brands is not really significant. Using either brand is equally recommended. It's just the sort of the practicality of the two different vaccines, which I think is probably most significant to consider.
Okay. Jenny, we still need to book these vaccines by calling, right?
Yeah, so for the young age group, 6 months to under five, we are still requiring those kids to be booked by through our call center rather than through our normal booking system. And that's just because we want to make sure that we're allocating enough vaccine for that age group. So we've got that number and that information on our website, but please urging parents to call and book into one of our upcoming clinics through the call center rather than booking them online.
Are the potential side effects for the younger group, are they about the same as they are for the rest of us?
Yeah, so it's pretty typical to what we see for most children that are getting their vaccines. Tenderness at the site, sometimes a little bit more tired, but we're actually seeing very minimal side effects in this age range. Now that we've been rolling for almost a couple of months now, or actually over a couple of months now, seeing very, very few side effects in that age group. Just your general kind of normal vaccine response that you would get for a lot of other vaccines. So nothing extreme for this age group.
Well, I can certainly report one case where no side effects and the energy level did not go down. I will tell you that. Now, when it comes to the rest of us, people who are eligible for boosters, you wanted to just make give us a few little reminders. And just as we say this, we'll just say goodbye to Dr. Lee, who has to leave now. Thank you so much for your time
Our
again, Dr.
family.
Lee.
See ya.
Okay, we'll talk to Dr. Lee again next week. Always a pleasure to have her. So, just some reminders when it comes to eligibility boosters, Jenny.
Yeah, so still some confusion, which is understandable. We know that a lot of people were very used to counting those doses and how many booster doses. Really, everyone right now is eligible for a fall booster 6 months after their last dose, regardless of how many doses you've had previously. We always want to make sure that we're kind of keeping up to date every 6 months. For those that are immunocompromised or have any underlying health conditions that might make them more vulnerable to severe illness or severe outcomes, it is recommended to get their fall bivalent booster 3 months after their last dose. And again, just to kind of reinforce the messaging that that Lena was giving to us as well today, is that we are heading into what we expect to be a season of high respiratory illness. So as we're heading into those fall winter months, we want to make sure that those that are most vulnerable have the adequate protection going into the fall. We are offering the bivalent boosters at our clinics, both Moderna and Pfizer. And as Lena was talking about too, really COVID's been very interesting from a, and I'm sure it's related to a lot of the social media and things like that when we're talking about brand preference. Both of these brands are equally effective. They're showing a very good immune response to the circulating variants that we're seeing in the community. And so, we really are trying to get away from promoting or even talking about one brand over another. In any other vaccine that we get, if you're going to get your flu shot, for example, we never ask what brand of vaccine we're getting. And many of our vaccines that we get, we may have different brands. It's like going into the store and getting different brands of acetaminophen. That it's kind of equivalent to that. So both brands equally effective. And we are at this time offering both in our clinics as well. Also to note that the kids ages 5 to 11 are also eligible for their booster dose right now, and it's recommended that they get that 6 months after their last dose as well. So this would be a third dose for those kids.
Okay, and on what you were talking about and what the doctor was talking about, brand loyalty, I'm very happy to say that I have Fiderma or Moderna running through my veins or whatever you want to say.
Excellent.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
Excellent.
it's it, we've been told, get the vaccine that is available. If you're doing the
That's right.
mRNAs, it makes no difference. With the exception, though, we want to remind people that with the youngest kids, though, if you get a first Pfizer, then you do the three course with the Pfizers and then the Modernas, you're going to get two shots for that child with Moderna.
Exactly. So for that younger age group, we aren't mixing and matching vaccines. We will stick with that brand. And that's simply because of the amount of mRNA that's dosage differences that's in each of those products. So for that, when they're first getting their primary series, we'll be making sure that they have the same vaccine brand for both.
Okay, so just before we get to a special shout out that you'd like to make, we did want to just go through a couple of reminders, that there are certain ways that people can find out about these vaccination clinics that are taking place.
Yes, so I always refer to our website, healthunit.org, as a wealth of information. All of our upcoming clinics are available and listed on that website. We do have clinics booked right through to the end of December at this point, and we've got lots of capacity at all of our clinics. We are taking walk-in appointments as well, as long as the clinic capacity permits it. We do tend to be busiest during our first 2 hours that we open. So that's kind of a little insider information for those that are don't have an appointment and are looking for a walk-in. Try to avoid the first couple hours of clinics, but we will try and make every attempt to get everybody in and seen. We do have a couple of clinics, though, that are listed as bivalent only clinics. So these clinics are only for those ages 12 and up that are getting their fall booster dose. So just be cautious of that if you're planning to go to a clinic and you're looking for a vaccine outside of that. All of our other clinics offer the gamut of vaccines for all ages. So just be aware of that. You can always call us and check ahead if you're looking for a certain vaccine. We are offering the rest of our clinics. We're offering all mRNA products, and as well as Novavax, which is our non-mRNA vaccine product that we have available at all of our clinics as well. Also, just to note too that participating pharmacies are offering COVID vaccine right now as well, and also a great place to get your flu shot at the same time. And those can be co-administered. You can get them both at the same time. So a great time to either get that through your pharmacy or your healthcare provider as well.
All righty. Now, before we let you go, we did want to mention something here, and really, it's kind of symbolic, really, when you think about it, as to how things have shifted over the course of the pandemic. But anyway, I'll let you take it. I'll let you tell us what's going on.
Yeah, so I just wanted to give a shout out to our partners at the Elmont General Hospital and our site lead Patty Morton that works out of that site. Since we first started to establish our mass vaccine clinics, Patty and Elmont General Hospital has been on board with supporting the health unit, both with the location that we've been providing our vaccines, which is out of the Octagon Room at the Elmont Hospital, as well as providing lots of staffing support. Nurses and administrative staff, as well as some of the physicians from the community health center there as well, our family health team. And so actually it's a little bit of an end of an era as we tomorrow will be our last clinic at the Octagon Room. So I just wanted to thank the Elmont General Hospital for offering us that space. We are lucky that and thankful for to the Elmont Civitan, who we will be booking some clinics with over the rest of this year as well. And they have been great to support us as we've been going through the fall booster doses as well. And happy that we still have the staffing support from our friends and coworkers at Elmont Hospital as well. So just a big thank you to the Elmont Hospital for offering that space to us for we're getting close to 2 years almost. It's hard to
Yeah.
believe.
I was going to say, like, the earliest pictures we had from the health unit to use on our website with the stories and so on about vaccinations came from that clinic. And I can still see them vividly in my head because they were the first ones. And I remember how happy we were, to see that this was in place and rolling. I think you were on with Brian probably the following weekend talking about these clinics and about that clinic as well. So, yeah, it is, as you say, an end of an era, but it's a great step forward.
It really is. Yes, it's good. It's good news.
Excellent. Well, Jenny, as always, a pleasure to speak with you. I really appreciate it. People can get more information, of course, on vaccinations at healthunit.org, a great site. We've got a link to it on our website as well, Leonard Leeds Today. Jenny, always a pleasure to speak with you.
Thanks so much, Bob.
You're very welcome. Our guests today on In Focus, Dr. Lena Lee, Medical Officer of Health, and of course, Jenny Vandermeer, Vaccine Clinic Lead. I'm Bob Perot. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful afternoon.